In this hour, we're talking with Kevin Newman, the anchor and executive editor of the Global National Newscast, which has debuted on Global. You can see it on the Global station here in Montreal. It's on every evening at 6:30. If you have any questions for Kevin, 790-0991, Star Talk, 1-800-491-CJD for the Laurentians, Eastern Townships, Ottawa Hall area, and also the border states. Hi, Kevin. How are you?
Hey, Peter. Not too bad.
Thanks for being on the program with us.
Not at all.
Welcome back to Canada, first of all.
Thank you. I've been here a while now. I think I've got most of my accent back. So.
Okay. Now, you started this show the beginning of September, basically, right?
Yeah, it was a month ago tomorrow, actually.
And I happened to catch the first few weeks, and things went well. I mean, it's difficult, I'm sure, putting a show together. You got brand new studios, brand new equipment, brand new staff, and it seemed to go off relatively flawless, at least from our side of the situation. I don't know what it was like for you guys there in Vancouver when you're putting this show together.
Yeah, well, it was like a roller coaster. I mean, you're right. I mean, it wasn't only a new show that we were launching, but, you know, we hadn't really worked together up to that point, and Global had built this, you know, whole new digital machine to run the thing, and so it was a matter of, you know, learning what buttons to push and when things happened. And actually, we found out just in the last month, you know, this worm that's been working its way through North America in the last couple of weeks, one of the problems with having a whole digital facility is stuff that's so computerized just breaks down all the time.
Right.
So, you know, it's not like the bolts aren't working, but you get a little virus in the machine, and boy, does it cause havoc.
So I'm sure you go through a lot of dry runs. You prepare to do all this whole thing. You finally get on the air. You're on for a week, and then September 11th happens.
Yeah, and that just, you know, that changed us completely. I mean, we, like everybody else, our lives are very different now. I mean, I think initially we thought we would be more of a, you know, a feature-based, try to find different kinds of stories on issues like health and issues like education and that kind of thing. And then this horror hits, and suddenly news is providing service to people again, as opposed to, you know, just trying to inform them. And so we've been a fairly traditional newscast, but trying to find our own stories to tell in the current environment.
Now, as someone who, and I'll talk a little later about your ABC days when you were in the United States, but as someone who had just recently left the United States, and more specifically left New York,
yeah,
what was that like for you to cover that story from literally, since you're in Vancouver now, across the country on the other side? You must have known people who work at ABC, for instance, and being a newsman, the urge is almost to be at ground zero.
Well, yes and no, I got to tell you. I mean, I was glad I wasn't there, because I think I would have had a hard time holding it all together. I mean, it was hard enough, you know, seeing the places that I knew well. I mean, I think it helped in some sense that I, you know Manhattan, and I know the attitude of New Yorkers, and, you know, could sort of guess how they might feel about it. But on the other hand, I think it was so close that, I was able to keep it away for a couple of days, but I was watching with my wife 60 Minutes on the Sunday immediately following it, and they profiled the town that we just moved from in New Jersey as a town that had lost 20% of its people. And that's when the full force had hit me, to be sitting here in Vancouver and seeing our former lives, you know, on television, and looking at people who were our doctors, our friends of my wife, wandering around Manhattan looking for her husband that she was convinced was simply missing, and school kids that my kids played with. And that's when I thought, oh, you know, good Lord, this is horrific.
790-0991, Star Talk, 1-800-491-CJD. We're talking with Kevin Newman, who is the anchor and executive editor of Global National News. And that title, anchor executive editor, how much of the structure of that show is Kevin Newman?
A lot of it is. I mean, some of that is by choice. Some of that's also by circumstance, in that, you know, there's only four of us in Vancouver that put it on every night. There's a lot of reporters across the country, but the core team is only four. And so, you know, I write a good chunk of the show myself, and we have one other person that helps with the writing. But one of the things I wanted to actually bring to the table in this was my voice and my perceptions and, you know, a little bit of my personality, not so much, I hope, that it annoys people. But I wanted to sort of break the mold, if I could, of the kind of dispassionate newsreader, because I think that's somewhat, you know, I think those days are going, and I think people are looking for, you know, anchors that bring something to the table. Maybe not attitude, because I think that's too strong a word, but at least, you know, some point of view, or at least some sense of outrage if the story is that bad, or, you know, some sense of whimsy if the story is a little bit of fun.
Now, I've had the opportunity to watch the show over the last couple of weeks while it was on the air, and you mentioned that you've had a rather traditional newscast since the horrific situation that took place on September the 11th, but I'm going to beg to differ a little bit, because one of the things I've noticed in watching, I'll take one day in particular,
mm-hmm.
That I found very interesting and very different from what I normally see in half-hour or a separate time newscast, and that is, there was one day where you had a question. You were basically showing people or telling people the situation as to why they should know certain things about the issues, and you had three talking heads, one of them being Lloyd Axworthy.
Yeah, and well, that was I guess, a week ago Tuesday when we all realized that we had done a really bad job of sort of informing people over the past few years of that part of the world and what's been going on, and to be frank with you, we found ourselves cramming to fill in the backstory of what we had ignored as journalists. So we thought, you know, if we don't know this stuff, then most people probably don't know it either. So maybe what we do is we just do a 5-minute newscast, and then we do 25 minutes, no opinion, but just get three smart people together and say, okay, you know, why is Pakistan important? I mean, I think we all know now, but 2 weeks ago it was kind of cloudy. You know, or we did, well, what is the Taliban and how did it get there? And I think sometimes we assume too much as journalists that people, you know, know enough, and that it's not necessarily a bad thing to every once in a while say, okay, folks, you know, we as journalists have done a bad job of keeping you on top of this, so now we're going to try to make good. And so that's what we tried to do there. We're trying the same thing on Monday, actually. We're going to take 5 minutes of the newscast, give you the news, and then we're going to throw it open to a group of about 150 people who are going to take shots at the media. And I'll be there, and there'll be somebody from the Vancouver Sun and somebody from radio, and just try to, you know, answer some accountability questions, because I think people really are relying on journalism right now to tell them if they're safe or if they're not safe, how they can become safe. And I think, you know, we have to be more accountable and a little more transparent in the process of what we know, what we don't know. Because in this story, we don't know the other side of the story because no one's supplying it, and I think we need to tell people that and explain our daily struggles a little bit better.
Well, again, this is something that, as I said, is you would only find if you waited on Sunday for 60 Minutes or if you went to one of the cable channels, which has all day to show you this kind of stuff. You don't normally get this type of programming in a newscast during the supper hour.
Not usually, but, you know, I'm also assuming that if, you know, on major events like this, people are staying up and are staying up on it. So if they want news, you know, they can get that on CBC or CTV NewsNet or whatever. So we at times have to look to be a little bit different editorially and find our slice of the news. So we're trying to do that. And then we're trying to break up the form every once in a while. But we had plans to be a little more radical than we are being, but I don't think the times call for that now.
7900991 star talk and 1-800-491-CJD. Those are the numbers to call. We are speaking with Kevin Newman, who is the anchor and executive editor of the Global National News with Kevin Newman, which is seen on Global at 6:30 here every day. Mara and Coaching Luke, hi, you're on CJD.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello, Kevin.
Hi, Mara.
I just want to tell you that I enjoy listening to you. I'm very glad you're on Global. It's my favorite station.
Thank you.
And I look forward, to hearing you every night. Now, what happened to Leslie Robertson?
Leslie Roberts has moved to Toronto with Global. He's co-anchoring there the Supper Hour News in Toronto.
Oh, that's great. Okay, so I'll be listening to you, and welcome to Montreal.
You take care.
Oh,
thanks.
You're in Vancouver, sorry.
Wherever I am.
Okay.
Thanks for the call.
Bye.
Bye-bye. 7900991 star talk, 1-800-491-CJD. Those are the numbers to call. Now, what about the show-busy part of it, the television part of it? There are some parts of the show where you're standing and some parts of the show where you're sitting. How did you go about deciding, you know, the look of the studio and whether you stand or sit? Yeah.
Well, some of that is, I mean, the standing thing I sort of tried at Good Morning America when I was anchoring the news there, and I found, you know what, I just feel more relaxed, and I think I communicated a more relaxed style when I'm standing. I don't know why that is, I just think that's maybe unique to me. Some of the other stuff, the thing about national news in the supper hour, unlike national news late at night, is that people are still on the move. You know, I think when you go, you know, when you sit down to watch The National or when you sit down to watch Lloyd Robertson, your day's done. You know, you know you're going to commit at least, you know, 15 minutes to being informed. But at the supper hour, you know, we're competing against potatoes on the stove. And so we have to, you know, our graphics have to be a little jazzier, our music has to be a little jazzier, our pace has to be perhaps a little bit faster. And that's just a recognition of sort of the environment that we're in at the supper hour. So there is, you know, we're not unaware of what you call the showbizy kind of stuff, because we have to be aware, because hopefully, you know, we have to get people's attention to be able to communicate the information that we know.
You mentioned the supper hour part. Was there ever a thought, because Global does not have a late night newscast,
yeah,
was there ever a thought of doing the newscast there, or was it always going to be a supper hour newscast?
It was always going to be supper hour, because, you know, there's the news audience is pretty finite late at night. And so, you know, the National does what it does well, Lloyd does what he does well. And so Global's strategic thinking was, well, why would we want to go into an arena that's already well-served? Why don't we see what happens at the supper hour? And, you know, the CBC continues to try to do national news at the supper hour. So, you know, that seemed to be a beachhead. And I actually think it's the right decision, because there's no sense in creating something to go against, you know, the big guys if you're new. It's better to sort of find your own territory and try to stake it.
It also seems interesting that here we have a Canadian guy who went to the United States and has now come back, and we're talking about a supper hour newscast, which seems to be the norm in the United States, as opposed to the non-nighttime newscast, and vice versa here.
Yeah, and the reason that is, I mean, there isn't a news division in the United States that wouldn't love to have a 10 o'clock late-night newscast. But the problem is that the entertainment dollar and the entertainment advertisement they can get at 10 o'clock from the NYPD Blues of the world is larger. So there's a commercial consideration there. You know, the reason we have 10 o'clock news in Canada is because we have a public broadcaster that isn't as commercially driven. And the reason that the CTV news is at 11 and later is because they don't want to, you know, share that 10 o'clock hour with the entertainment either. So, you know, it's a hard time for news because people are on the go. And people are not necessarily, you know, committed to sitting down. So, I mean, we have a hard thing. First of all, we have to convince people that Global is a source of credible national news, but, and then we have to convince them that they can get national news at the supper hour. So that's a pretty steep road.
Was it difficult for Global to get you to come back, or were you prepared to come back before Global approached you?
I was prepared to come back before Global approached me, actually, for a whole number of family reasons, and also because I miss the country a little bit, and these are the stories that sort of course through my veins, the Canadian stories more than the American ones. But Global's offer was by far the best, because it allowed creative input, and we could create something brand new. And that's the one thing I had not done in my career, was be on the ground floor of something new and to, you know, help give birth to it.
Now, you must have been hearing from either friends or probably most likely colleagues who would say to you, what, you lived in New York and you're working for a major network and you're coming back to Canada? What, are you nuts?
Yeah, a little bit of that. But you know what? I mean, New York's a really exciting place, and it's everybody's excellent in New York. That's why they're there. But it can be exhausting, too. I mean, there's 9 million people that work in New York, and that takes its toll over time. So, you know, the people who, you know, understand lifestyle choices said, you know, good for you. The people who were still, you know, career-tracked thought I was a little nuts.
Okay, let's go back a little bit. Was it a difficult choice to leave Canada and go to ABC in the first place?
Yeah, it was gut-wrenching, because I think, like a lot of Canadians, you sort of feel like a traitor. But, you know, I actually went to a dinner party, and at one point, and it was at a Canadian friend's down in Detroit, and the table was full of people from all over the world, from Germany. He worked for General Motors, and I thought, this is pretty cool. So here's this Canadian sort of, you know, competing with some of the best in the world, and he's doing okay. And that's when it sort of clicked in my head that, maybe I could take my Canadian-ness and take what Canada had helped me create in my career and export it, and let's see how it, you know, works on the world market. And after I sort of got over that hump, it felt a lot better. But for a while there, it was really difficult. I didn't really want to move my family to the New York area, because it's a struggle trying to get around there. But but you make decisions, and I'm very glad I went. I think it was the right thing to do, and I think I'm a better person, and I think I'm a better reporter for having worked there.
Canada has been known for turning out some great journalists over the years, and it's no secret to anybody who watches television that the American television landscape is littered with Canadian journalists.
It's a classic immigrant story. It really is. I mean, we'll go down there, and we'll work for half price. You know, so they look around, they think, well, okay, here's some Canadian journalists that are generally in television, you know, quite well trained, and you know, we get them down here, and they'll work for a lot less than the Americans that are being applied for the same job. So I think that has a lot to do with it, and it's also the fact that it's, you know, there's an economy of scale there. Like, it's 10 times as big, so there's 10 times more money, so you have the resources that you need to do your story, and that's not always the case in Canadian TV.
But I'm guessing there's also another factor, and that factor is a lot of the Canadians that you do see working in the United States aren't actually in the United States. They're working as foreign correspondents.
Yeah.
Does that Canadian passport have a lot to do with it?
That does, yeah. And Canadians tend to have a wider sort of look at the world, too, and they're better versed in international politics and international relations than American reporters tend to be. Yes, the Canadian passport's enormously important at a time like this, especially. I mean, it takes longer to be an American reporter to get into Pakistan than it does a Canadian reporter, and you know, it's possible to sort of slip under the radar to get into places. If you look at the reporters that are inside Afghanistan right now, for newspapers, great numbers of them are from Canada, but the American and the British reporters are having a very difficult time getting into Afghanistan to try to report. So there are tremendous advantages, and you know, the hard thing is, though, I find, is if you're a Canadian reporter and you go overseas immediately after Canada to broadcast to Americans, you haven't really lived in America, so you may not your antenna for the American approach to things isn't that well tuned. So some of the friends that I know that go straight to Israel or London find it a little disorienting because they don't really know their audience. Remember, they're broadcasting to Americans, and when you don't have a sense of who your audience is, it makes it hard to figure out how to tell the story.
7900991 Star Talk, 1-800-491-CJD. Those are the numbers to call. We are speaking with Kevin Newman, who is now the anchor of Global National News, which you can see on the Global Television Network every day from 6:30 to 7. You do that newscast live out of Vancouver, which means when we see you, it's 3:30 in the afternoon today.
Right.
What about?
Do I get to go home early? Is that what you're asking?
No. I doubt that you do. But are we the first who get to see your newscast? In other words, do you do one before that for the Atlantic regions or anything like that?
No, we do one to. Our first one we do is to Quebec and Ontario, and then and then we update it when it comes out west. We do one at 5:30 local time, 8:30 Montreal time, to the west coast, and that one goes east, and it's a patchwork. I mean, it still confuses me when I try to figure it out. So we generally do two versions of it, but they're mostly the same. One of the things that, you know, that we think is that we have to sort of figure out what the national agenda is and not try to bifurcate the country, you know, east-west or whatever.
How long is your day? When do you start?
And my day's not too bad. I mean, look who I'm talking to. I'm talking to a guy who has to work, you know, late hours here. So, you know, I don't. We get up early. I mean, we have our first conference call at 6:30 in the morning, so that our reporters in the east are up and running by 9:30. But you know, people work long hours, and that's the nature of the business. But these are, I got to tell you, the best hours I've worked. I mean, I've done morning television, I've done overnight news, I've done, you know, a lot of stuff that were really, you know, grinding hours. But this this job, I, you know, don't tell my boss, but they're the best hours I've had.
Okay, we're talking with Kevin Newman here on Montreal's News Talk Leader CJD 800. If you have any questions for Kevin, 7900991 Star Talk, 1-800-491-CJD. Those are the numbers to call. We'll continue on the other side of the news. We have another half hour to go with Kevin here on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJD 800.
In Montreal, you're with the News Talk Leader, CJD 800.
Hello, I'm Misha. And I'm Marie.
We're Peter's nephews.
You're listening to Holder Overnight here on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJD 800. It's Peter's job to work in radio so he can earn money.
And it's our job to make sure he spends it on us.
So don't listen to Peter for his sake, listen for ours.
This has been a public service message on behalf of the Meshach and Malik Benevolent Society.
And now, here's Peter Anthony Holder.
Thanks, guys. 7900991 Star Talk and 1-800-491-CJD. Those are the numbers to call. We're speaking with Kevin Newman, who is the anchor and executive editor of Global National News, which is seen on Global every night, Monday through Friday at 6:30. 7900991, the numbers to call.
That was shameless, by the way.
Sorry?
That was shameless, putting your kids up to that.
Oh, my nephews.
Oh, your nephews.
Yeah.
Shame on you.
The newscast comes out of Vancouver, which brings up the question. A lot of people are always concerned about media in this country being quote-unquote Toronto-centric. Was that a conscious effort to be out there in Vancouver?
Yeah, I think it was. I mean, Global's owned by the Asper family of Winnipeg, and its headquarters is still in Winnipeg. And they've always been sort of strong believers in you know, too much of Canada's television media is centered, in Toronto. And so they did make a very conscious effort to locate this out of Vancouver, and I think it was the right, it was an interesting decision. I think it was the right one. I mean, I think it's just great to have a lot of really good journalists from a different part of the country taking a look at the day's news, and I think that's reflected sometimes in that we come up with sometimes a very different agenda than the other guys.
Does it make it any more difficult not being in the, quote-unquote, center of it all?
Not really. No, I mean, I think journalism is best when it's sort of one step removed from being at the center of it all. I think sometimes it's easy to believe that you should be players in events if they're always happening around you. But I think anybody who's been to Vancouver knows that there's a feeling here that, you know, we're looking at the rest of the country over the mountains and, you know, what's going on over there. And I think that sort of outsider status is actually the ideal place to try to practice journalism from.
Now, a lot of people who have watched your career over the years remember you from the days when you were at CTV, or actually when you started at Global for some folks.
Yeah.
And also at the CBC, and I guess Midday is where a lot of people got to know you from.
Yeah.
And as I'm sure you're aware, this is a pretty genteel country. We don't necessarily go out and attack a lot of people.
Right.
But then you go to New York, and you get the Good Morning America gig, after doing some anchoring, of course, and some reporting.
Yeah.
You get the Good Morning America gig, and the critics come out.
Yeah, it didn't go well, shall we say. But, you know, they do. They play the game there at a top level, and part of the game there is you know, if people sense a vulnerability, then they'll go for it. And, you know, you don't step into the arena without knowing what the game is. So there were a lot of reasons that didn't work out. Some of them, I think, were my fault in that, you know, perhaps I wasn't confident enough or prepared enough for the job as I thought I was. Some of them were the fault of the network and that they probably didn't give us enough time together. I hadn't really co-hosted for 2 weeks with Lisa McCree before they all of a sudden said, okay, you two are the one. And you know, over at the Today Show, they brought Matt Lauer in over a 2.5-year period. And, you know, the audience had a chance to get used to him, and they had a chance to get used to one another. So it was a bit of a, if you'll forgive me, a shotgun wedding for us as a team. And it never really took off because the spotlight was intense and the pressure was intense. But I learned a lot through the experience, and some of those lessons I still apply in the creation of this project.
Anything you'd do differently looking back in hindsight?
Not sure I would have taken the job in hindsight. I got to tell you, that was pretty searing. You know, I mean, sometimes your wish comes true and you get what you want, but sometimes your wish shouldn't come true, and I think that might have been the case.
One of the things, though, is and I still think it's that situation, that management doesn't necessarily know what they want to do with that show. And let's face it, right now you have two of the biggest stars that the network has to offer on that television show, but there's still that word interim.
Yeah, and it's been almost 2 years.
Yeah,
and they haven't really spent a lot of time grooming replacements that they're comfortable with, and they don't have anybody to turn it over to. I mean, it's an enormously important franchise, Good Morning America, and you know, not only from a, you know, a company point of view, but also from a viewer point of view. So, you know, I was actually at a gym working out this morning, and I saw Charlie and Diane up there, and I thought, you know, thank God it's not me, because I couldn't, I don't know if I could have done it for as long as those guys have done it, and believe me, they're, you know, they deserve everything they have in life because they work their tails off.
Having worked both sides of the 49th parallel, how do you think we as a country, or let me rephrase that, how do you think news is treated differently in the two countries?
I think in Canada there are still news junkies. And I'm not sure there's as many in America as there used to be. I mean, I think that there are so many other kinds of programming, although I think, you know, the events in New York have changed that. I think we've returned to an era where, you know, news matters. But I think we've been through 10 years where, in large part, national news was struggling to figure out how it fit into people's lives. You know, local news has service. It provides weather, sports. You kind of like the team. They tell you what's going on in your community, that kind of thing. But national news had a problem trying to figure out where it belonged because there didn't seem to be any external threat to North American society. Well, weren't we wrong about that? But I think in those 10 years, I think American TV journalism went down, the road of boring a little bit too much from the entertainment side of things as far as, you know, its story selection and how it chose to tell stories. And I didn't see that happening as much here in Canada. And that's another reason I moved back. I just feel, you know, I'm not out there enough to be over-the-top personality. It's just not who I am, and I just think I'm just too fundamentally Canadian in that, and that if I was going to, you know, spend any more time in the profession, I wanted to come home to do that.
Do you find that when you're setting, September 11th aside, you only had a week to work before that took place, but did you find before the horrific events that took place on September 11th that looking through your lineup as to what you were going to put on the newscast to fill the 30 minutes was different than how you would have done the same newscast if it were in an American one?
That's a good question. Not that different, actually, because I had I'd formulated a few ideas, and you know, to be honest, I had thought that, you know, national news in Canada was getting a little bit stale, and so you know, that it was a little too predictable, and that you know, both, and here's the competitive side of me, I guess, that CBC TV were too often chasing the sort of same agenda as the newspapers and everything else. So, you know, that first week we were almost saying, okay, this is what they'll do, we're going to do something different just to be different and just sort of signal that we are different. But that was a luxury then that we don't have anymore, in that, you know, we could sort of, you know, stake our claim and know that, you know, it was a matter of picking better and more interesting stories. As I've said, you know, we're in a time now where we have a function to provide, and that is telling people what's going on, you know, as we wait for, you know, the American and the British response, and probing how Canadian society has changed. I mean, the stories are epic that we're in the middle of now. We're you know, we have to grapple with Canadian sovereignty and you know, how much control, you know, do we relinquish on immigration? You know, particularly important issue in Quebec, I know, and not only that, but safety. Why aren't we, you know, do we need to invest more in the defense industry? Are we doing enough to make sure that, you know, we're safe in the skies? I mean, these are big, important issues, and you know, a lot of the things that we were tackling our first week, by comparison, they seem a little frivolous now.
Is it news, is it the job of news to merely inform the public as to what is going on in the world, or is it the job of news, in your opinion, to tell us what we should know in the world?
Well, here's how I answer that. I mean, we're a small team, but I think it's our job to take a look at all we know that's going on at one time and to process it and say, okay, here's what we think you need to know. We're only, you know, a small team, but, you know, we're pretty seasoned, and we've got some pretty good experience amongst us. And, you know, we're all looking at the same events as CBC and CTV is, but, you know, I think we succeed when our team looks at the same events and says, well, we find this interesting in the event, and this is what we're going to show you. So I think news has a function in this time of saying, okay, you know, warships are moving, you know, this is what the president said, this is what the prime minister said. And then I think we move off that and we say, but, you know, how about this? What about, you know, Ms. Dabbani making comments about U.S. foreign policy? And doesn't she have the right to say that in a free and democratic society? And why are so many people outraged by what she said? You know, are we sort of, you know, editing ourselves now in the belief that we all have to, you know, jump aboard this, that, or the other? I mean, those are the kind of stories that we're trying to probe. And they look at, you know, just how Canadian society is changing in light of the horror.
7900991 Star Talk, 1-800-491-CJD. We're talking with Kevin Newman from Global Television here on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJD 800. You mentioned earlier the situation of image, and I see your newscast, and I followed your career both in Canada and the United States, and you're like the guy next door. I mean, you know, the other news anchors I've seen over the years have been a solemn bunch. I'm convinced to this very day that Harvey Kirk didn't have teeth. is that a conscious effort on your part to just be a guy reading the news to us?
Well, you know what? It's taken me a long time to get to this point. Like, it took me... It's kind of a weird mind game that you go through. I think. I mean, some people are good at sort of relaxing on camera quickly. I was not one of those, and it took me a while to sort of to strip away the artifice of, you know, Mr. Serious News Guy. You know, it would kill me to laugh, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And finally, I just sort of came to the conclusion. You know what? I think that was for a time when it was kind of special to be on TV and the anchorman was kind of a special position in society. That time doesn't exist anymore. You know, everybody under the age of 40 or 35 has seen themselves on television, by virtue of video cams. And there are a lot of news anchors out there, and there's a lot of news sources. So it seems to me ridiculous to sort of assume that you're any more omnipresent than anybody else in society by virtue of your position. And so I do kind of, you know, I just sort of gave into it at one point. I said, well, you know what, this is who I am. I have some experience. I've seen a lot of stuff. I've done 20 years of reporting, and here's my best guess. But I'm not going to think that, you know, authority will come from my demeanor, because that's just fake. And I think the viewers, you know, see through that of somebody my age. That if I came across as, you know, stuffy and self-important at the age of 42, I think, you know, most rightfully thought people would say, "Oh, come on, you know, who do you think you are?" And the answer is, you know, I don't know. I'm just a guy working at a job that I like, and this is what I'm looking at. And so I have just sort of given into that and thought, all right, here I am. And it doesn't always work. Good Morning America was a good example of that, but. But you have to be true to yourself.
Well, I mean, I even remember seeing you on This Hour 22 Minutes.
Oh, yeah. that was a long time ago. That was like 7 years ago.
Yeah, but it replayed not too long ago, I may add.
Oh, did it really?
They rerun it. Yeah, maybe you need to check from Actra. They rerun it in the daytime on CBC, so it showed up again.
Oh,
and, you know, a lot of anchors wouldn't have done something like that, certainly not 10 years ago.
Yeah, or 7 years ago. But you know what? I mean... Let me tell you, more people get a buzz out of This Hour 7 Minutes than they get out of newscasts, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, you know, I think people's lives have changed, and I think, you know, I think there might have been a time when, and for some Canadians, it's still the time. They still want a formality to their news presentation, but those people are well served, and so I just figure, you know, what the heck, I'll look a little sloppy, and I might not be as slick, and I might not have the best voice and all that kind of stuff, but this is who I am, and that can turn off as many people as others that find it intriguing, but that's all I can do. So
we're talking with Kevin Newman here on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJD 800. Less than 15 minutes ago with Kevin. 7900991 is the number to call.
Now more of CJAD's Halder Overnight on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800. To speak with Peter, call 790-0991, Star Talk, a free call on Bell Mobility, and 800-491-CJAD.
And we're talking with Kevin Newman, who is the anchor and executive editor of Global National News, which is seen on Global at 6:30, from 6:30 to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday. Kevin, you've been doing this now... this television news thing or news general for what, about 20 years now, right?
Yeah, yeah. I started it right out of school.
How did you get into it? How did you decide this is what you wanted to do for a career?
Well, I was one of those lucky guys that, you know, at 14, I kind of knew. I was always a news junkie, and was actually a big fan of Global News. It went on the air in Ontario in 74 and was mostly just an Ontario station for a while. But it had, you know, it had a lot of integrity in it. It was pretty thorough. So I toyed with being a businessman, and then I ran a painting business one summer and hated that, and toyed with being a teacher, and then I thought, no, let's give this journalism thing a try. And then it's kind of a weird story. I figured, well, you got to get somebody's attention for your very first job. So I wrote a fan letter to a particularly attractive reporter, the Global head at the time, and said, you know, you got fans out here at, you know, Western, which was a school I was going to. This is your fan club, yada yada. And it was only me at the time, but she called back and said, oh, this is really cool, you know. And so I thought, okay, well, all right, can I drop by Toronto and just go out in a story? I'm not a stalker or anything. I just, you know, I'm a journalism student. She said, sure, come on in. So we so I hung out for a day and got to know people that way and sort of wheeled my way in and got a job making coffee and ripping wire copy.
Where was home for you? Where were you growing up?
I grew up in Mississauga, suburban Toronto, mostly. But I did live in Montreal for the years of Expo,
mm-hmm.
and but mostly grew up around Toronto, and then met my wife at Global in Toronto, and she's a Montrealer. Her family still lives on Côte-des-Neiges.
Now, did you want to, when you first got into journalism, was it your goal to be an anchor? Was that what you wanted
no.
to do?
No, I never thought this had happened to me. I really didn't. I took it a step at a time. I mostly just wanted to work in a newsroom and enjoyed, you know, finding that in my life, and then worked as writing, and then did sports reporting for a little while. And I wanted to be an on-air reporter, but that's as far as my ambition took me. And I've been so lucky. I mean, I sort of exceeded my expectations, and that's a nice thing to be able to say.
Most recently, with what has taken place in New York, we are seeing the more human side of news anchors in the United States. And I'm just wondering, this story aside, September 11th, in your long career, what story has touched you?
Well, this one has, obviously. It's kind of hypocritical that it has, though. I mean, you have some anchors that are teary, and the reason is because they, you know, these are their neighbors. These are people like them that were affected by acts of terror. But, you know, you have 800,000 to a million people in Rwanda that are slaughtered, and no anchor sheds a tear for that. So in some ways, you know, we're hypocrites. But we're also human, and this one does affect us because it happens to people that we know. So this has been a big story. On the happier side, I'd say that the story that I've enjoyed doing the most was John Glenn's launch on the space shuttle a couple of years ago, because I was able to, first of all, he was a childhood hero, and I was able to interview a hero of my childhood, and it isn't often that you happen to do that. And then we did Good Morning America down from the Cape, and on the panel with me was Wally Schirra and Gene Cernan, two of the original Mercury 7 astronauts, who were also like guys that I used to, as a kid, you know, watch, you know, anchoring the space shots with Walter Cronkite, and here I was interviewing them too. And then the real kicker on this was that I was able to bring my son, who was 9 years old at the time, and you know, basically introduce him to the people who were my heroes, and he's a big space nut, and that just sort of, you know, closed the circle beautifully for me. That if nothing else happens to me in journalism, I was able to, you know, accomplish enough to meet my own heroes and then introduce them to my son, and I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, does it ever come to you at a time when you're sitting there going, you know, talking to some people like these, and I understand you've had a chance to speak to Margaret Thatcher and Nelson Mandela and some other very influential international figures, and do you ever say to yourself, wait a minute, I'm just a kid from Mississauga?
Oh, yeah, the imposter syndrome. Yeah, absolutely. Like, don't these people know I don't belong here? And, you know, someone's going to stand up in a corner and say, what are you doing here? And, yeah, I mean, I don't think that ever leaves you. But it's so thrilling to experience it firsthand. Like, when Nelson Mandela walks in a room, it's like Gandhi. There's just a serenity to the man and a grace and a power for his struggle that you just go, you know, I'm no longer a journalist. I'm just basking in the glow of this amazing person. And then, you know, you can get as frustrated at Margaret Thatcher for being evasive to your question as you can to, you know, our own prime minister. So, yeah, I mean, I think as you go along, you sort of lose that. And I think, you know, I've been able to see some amazing things, and I'm not easily intimidated anymore. But certainly growing up in the profession, there was, you know, a tenseness to it and a feeling that, oh, geez, I'm not nearly old enough to be doing what I'm doing.
Has there been anybody who's intimidated you?
Well, Trudeau was intimidating. Margaret Thatcher was intimidating. Do you know who intimidated me the most was René Lévesque, oddly enough. I had a chance as a very young reporter, I must have been like 27, to interview him at a hotel room in Toronto. And, you know, I admired the man. I thought he was a man of passion and a really interesting Democrat and just a really smart cookie. And so I'm thinking to myself, what can I possibly, you know, a kid from Mississauga, ask René Lévesque? But he was so gracious and listened to my questions and responded to them, you know, when I know in his head he's thinking, you know, who's this little punk? But he didn't project that, and he just seemed to genuinely be interested in my questions. So, you know, he very quickly put me at ease. But I, you know, getting the first few questions out of my mouth sitting across from him was not easy.
Well, you've had an opportunity to anchor a lot of television shows, and now you're anchoring the Global National News, which is on every evening. Have you ever realized the fact that in your job in chronicling history, you become part of history?
The only time that hit me was I was reading a book. I'm trying to Jeffrey Archer book, a novelist from Britain. And I just happened to be reading, this was like a murder mystery. And then all of a sudden I'm reading it, and he mentions that, you know, Kevin Newman is reading the news on television. And I looked at it a few times, and I thought, you got to be kidding. Like, how did, you know, why is this British author writing about me? And that, I guess, was my moment of, I guess I kind of have transcended in some ways. But generally, I don't really focus on that too much. But there are sometimes sort of little reminders like that that you go, holy cow, this is weird.
Often I get to talk to a lot of people who are in the public eye, and you ask them what they would like to see their kids doing, and a lot of times they say, not what I do for a living. Would you like to see your kids become journalists like yourself?
I'd like them to do what they want to do, but I don't think that they could. I think it's a fine profession. I really do. I mean, it's... in 20 years, I've never been a clock watcher. I've never been bored. I've seen my times, and that's a rare privilege to actually live in your times, not only, you know, in comfort, but in, you know, the crappy places of the world, too, and to understand that most of humanity lives in misery. And I think that's profound, and I would be delighted if either of my kids said I'd love to be a journalist, but I'm going to let them reach that decision.
Well, we are certainly enjoying what we've seen so far.
I appreciate it.
On the television show, on the newscast, which is on every night, and I know it's a brand spanking new newscast, but I think it can go for a long period of time. Are you overly concerned, as someone who is the executive editor and the anchor, are you overly concerned with ratings? I know it's something you have to worry about, at least for a little while, since you're new. But
what's overly concerned? I mean, you got to pay attention to them because that's how they set advertising revenues. But we're not doing stories, you know, with the express purpose of, oh, this would be a ratings grabber. I mean, we're really not doing that. I mean, as hard as that might be for some people to believe. But do we want to be interesting and do we want people to watch? Sure, we do. You know, I've been a success in my career, and I've not been a success, and being a success is a lot better. But in something like this, it's going to take time because changing people's news habits is a multi-year project. And you know, global at the national level hasn't really been there in any significant way up to now. And so this is a big thing that'll take time. But you know, I'm having fun.
Well, I thank you for taking the time out to be on our program this evening, Kevin, and continued success.
Thanks for asking. I appreciate it.
Take care.
All right, take care.